Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, or like a book club for people hate reading. This month we're doing Robin Williams drama, so the old guy picked Patch Adams, made in 1998. We're doing Firefly episode...
Out of gas.
8.
And we bring you movie news at the end of the program. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, Ryan Preston...
And the old guy's here.
Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, or like a book club for people hate reading. This month we're doing Robin Williams drama, so the old guy picked Patch Adams, made in 1998. We're doing Firefly episode...
Out of gas.
8.
And we bring you movie news at the end of the program. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, Ryan Preston...
And the old guy's here.
In 3, 2, 1. Boop. So who has the description of this movie?
So I picked this movie... that I saw many, 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 many years ago, and thought it was worth us a chance to talk about it. Again, this is our ode to Robin Williams. And the storyline goes that Patch Adams is determined to become a medical doctor because he enjoys helping people. Unfortunately, the medical and scientific community does not appreciate his methods of healing the sick, while actual patients, medical professors, and the hospital nurses all appreciate the work he can do because they're unable to do it.
I have to say, after watching this, I don't think there's a lot of doctors that have excess happiness.
No. And, you know, I got to say, I love Michael Jeter.
Oh, yeah.
That guy is an amazing actor.
I was really bummed when he died.
The squirrels.
You know, I actually have to admit, you know, I've only seen maybe about 10 minutes of this movie.
Really?
Before watching this entire thing. And, you know, the interesting thing I find is that reading some of the background on this film... is that the real Hunter Patch Adams did not like this portrayal of himself. And this is the second movie that we've done, Good Morning Vietnam being the first one, that the actual person that the story was based off did not enjoy the film.
I studied it a little bit more. It wasn't so much that he didn't like the portrayal. What he didn't like was the over-zaniness. He says, I'm not over-zany.
I didn't find any of his excerpts as to why.
He was also upset at something else.
Okay.
Well, what I was going to say is that they met, and they met a number of times.
Well, he was sitting right behind Robin Williams in the hearing.
Right.
Hunter Patch Adams.
They actually went out by themselves, the two of them, and had a number of lunches together discussing how to play the character.
Oh, okay.
And, yes, it wasn't right on. Yes, it was a little zanier
than
he is
in life. Well, of course it's going to be.
It's Robin Williams,
right. So, it wasn't so much that he hated it. It just was a little zanier than he is.
And the other problem was he never actually got any money from the movie, so it didn't help him build his hospital.
But, that's actually an interesting thing because they did a lot of make-a-wish things.
Yeah.
Most of the kids in the pediatrics ward were actually Make-A-Wish Foundation kids.
Yeah, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It did end up making money for his hospital, and so he was okay with it.
The other thing that's interesting about him, as I was reading, that he also played roles as far as on the back end on MASH, helping with the medical stuff, which is one of my all-time favorite television shows.
Yeah, that's
shows.
Actually
not a big fan of the movie.
Pretty cool thing. Ryan, you've been pretty quiet.
Well, listening. I'm taking it all in. A film studio is never going to say that the movie made money. That way they don't have to pay anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Hollywood accounting.
As soon as we make our money back, then we'll pay out everybody else. That's usually how that goes. Second of all, I'm sure it was a successful hospital. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made a movie about it. So I think he was doing okay.
Yeah.
Well, it was more about the man than his hospital.
Yeah, exactly. But as far as the movie, I even though that might not have been the most accurate for the guy... Robin Williams might be the only person who can pull off, like, really pull off, like, making a kid laugh and then walk 20 feet over to the adult, you know, asshole and make him laugh also.
Right. Yeah.
Watching James's feet, very few people can
do both. You know, some people are zany and then don't know how to talk to adults, but Robin Williams really knew how to make anybody laugh at any time, so.
I have to say, watching Ryan's Skype, I feel like I'm watching an old Japanese movie.
One of the things I noticed in this film, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it not only is highlighted in this film, but you see it in other films that Robin Williams does, and I just noticed it and it stuck out to me in this film is you'll see him every few moments, you know, get all enthusiastic with his hands and then all of a sudden really quickly cross his arms. Mm-hmm. I don't know if any of you guys picked up on that, but my wife brought something up and said, you know, that's probably when he is on the verge of getting wound up and have to realize to reel it in as an actor. That's something that he does. And I've noticed that in a few of his films, but I thought that was something to bring up as we get into more of his comedy stuff, because you'll see it more in his comedy films than you will in his drama films.
Right. The other thing I did notice, that actually the first time I noticed, and somebody might have brought this up and I don't remember, that most of his characters that I remember him playing have some sort of pain.
Yes.
Like some sort of hurt background, because Patch Adams did throughout this movie in the beginning when he checked himself in a mental ward. Mm-hmm. And I love the scene when he walked in there and he realized, I'm the sanest person in this place.
But, you know, the one thing I have to say about Robin Williams in his drama is the way that his facial features, and you can see it in his eyes, is when he reflects into that pain, it actually comes out in his eyes and his facial features. When he's talking about it, like he was kind of discussing her, that he was in a psych ward, and he was talking about it, and it's almost like you can feel the passion for it coming out of him, and that could probably go into why he was a depressed person.
Because I know we said it on last week's episode for Good Will Hunting, was the fact that he plays that emotionally, that depressed, that character really better than anybody.
Yeah.
And it seems so effortlessly, where you watch other actors who try to pull it off, and it just doesn't seem as genuine.
Yeah.
Well, again, this seems so much like almost the real Robin Williams in some of the movie. It was like you could, you know, knowing how he ended up in his, you know, ended his life and all the depression he felt.
Especially when he was standing on the cliff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like, gosh, it's almost like it's the guy himself now. He's not acting.
I think that would be why Robin Williams was able to traverse such a difficult thing. As one of the things I mentioned when we were introducing this theme, is that he seamlessly was able to traverse the comedy and the drama, and that could be because he had so much pain. Because actually, that's one of the things you'll find is a lot of the culture and people that are great comedians are some of the ones who went through some very big hardships, mm-hmm. to mention the Jews and mm-hmm. the African Americans, because you'll find that most of them are great comedians, but they come from a background where they've known suffering and going through trials. Right. And that could be because that you have to find the humor in life to continue.
Yeah, humor comes from pain, and there's certain people who just will, you know. I was always one of those people. Like, I remember going to my grandmother's funeral when I was a kid, and all I wanted to do was joke around with my aunt. It was just a way of
coping,
you know, getting out of that situation in your head. There's those people who, that's their response to sad things, is to be happy. And I think James was right. You just brought up that he was a passionate guy. I think it's exactly that. He just had these high highs and these low lows, but was able to really draw on those moments. And just like Good Will Hunting, you see him like delivered like monologues in this film, especially the one at the end. And it's all over his face. I mean, it's you can feel everything that he's feeling because he's so good at emoting it on his face. And I don't think he ever got like much credit for it. And especially in this kind of a thing where it's sort of this Disney three-act kind of nicely, tightly, tight story with this storybook ending. But is such a good actor in those moments that it's really, really awesome to watch him.
No, I was thinking about like the plot on this movie, and the Patch Adam character changes a little bit. To me, he doesn't change, it's everybody else around him.
Yeah.
He changes all of the people he meets in school, even God rest his soul, Philip Seymour Hoffman, realized you've got something that I don't, and you respond to the nurses that were hard, you know, hard asses, and they realized, hey, he's making people better.
And I got to point out, I think Philip Seymour Hoffman, unfortunately, I think he actually overplayed the role early. I think he did.
Yeah, no, I'll agree.
I think he did overplay it a little bit early when he first meets him and kind of is going in, and they're doing.
It's a little stiff.
And then after the party, he kind of reels it in a little bit. And I think that might have been the way that he meant to play it, but I think it came across as overplayed early.
Yeah, yeah, like right off instant, the bat. He was an instant asshole.
And I like him. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And just you're right, water. But it may have been a little bit of when this scene was shot. You know, obviously things aren't shot in sequence.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to tell where in, you know, is this the very first scene and his character was supposed to be a jerk and also came on as a jerk.
Well, they have the script, so I'm assuming he knew what position.
Well, they get
the
an idea, but.
And I got to point out Bob Gunton, Mr. Dean Wilcott.
Yeah.
I think he played that role perfectly. I really think he did.
He's that guy in everything. He was that guy in Shawshank.
I know, but didn't you also kind of think that, you know, it was like almost like the Dean from like Revenge of the Nerds, you know?
House or something.
Or Animal House. Just really well played, I got to say.
Yeah, totally. I love his character, the warden in Shawshank.
Yeah.
I am wondering who's brave enough to go up to a dying man, start rubbing his feet and singing ridiculous songs.
Oh, I know. Seriously?
I love the fact the nurses look and, you know,
they're all laughing
at it. Yeah, I love that whole thing.
I really liked Monica Porter. I haven't really seen much with her in her, like her acting. Mm-hmm. But early on, I kept on going, is that Julia Roberts? Mm-hmm.
I thought too.
I kept on thinking that. I'm like, no, it's really not. The face is off.
Yeah. She looked like a very young
Julia
Roberts.
Yes, exactly. That's what I thought too. Yeah. But
I looked her up. She's
before I realized, sporadic. This is Con Air.
Yeah,
that's right.
The other thing I wanted to mention was a couple of things. Is I love the preference from the film early on about the how many fingers do I see, you see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I the first time I saw this back in 98, you know, I never really got it. You know, it was kind of, you know, you see it and you're like, what do you mean four fingers? Until they show it. But it was interesting when you see it in the beginning after you've seen this and you see, you get to see the fact the guy's not mad. He's just smarter than everybody and he wants somebody who's on his intellectual level.
Yes. And you said that you didn't see Hunter Patch Adams change, but you really do. But the change happens so drastically and early in the film.
It's right at the beginning,
that
basically.
There's not much development. And that's one of the things I want to just point out.
No, you're
right. It happens within the first, like, 10 minutes of the film.
Right.
And in the first 10 minutes of the film, I'm kind of thinking, one flew over the cuckoo's nest, one flew over the cuckoo's nest, one flew over the cuckoo's nest.
Not quite there.
I want to go to my favorite, talk about my favorite scene, which is the ending scene, which is very similar to my favorite ending scene in Scent of a Woman. With Robert De Niro and Chris O'Donnell, my all-time favorite ending in any movie. And I love how he stands up in here and kind of challenges everybody, especially when he was talking about, you know, we got to battle the disease of indifference. And I want to read my favorite quote in this movie is, what's wrong with death, sir? What are we so mortally afraid of that we can't treat death with a certain amount of humanity, dignity, and decency, and God forbid, maybe even humor? Death is not an enemy, gentlemen. If we're going to fight a disease, let's fight the most terrible disease of all, indifference. I love that line because it basically sums up the whole movie.
And that probably was a line that I could see the actual Patch Adams using. I don't know if he actually did, but from what I could tell of the character and the fact that obviously the thing that he probably had the biggest issue, and I knew this before you even said it, Rob, is that it was more goofy and zany than he probably really was. But I could see the intellectual side of him.
Mm-hmm. I don't.
I could, but have you seen this guy's mustache and his shirts? I find it hard to believe he wasn't that zany.
Yeah,
I could.
Well,
yeah.
There's a difference between zany and
comedic
and Robin Williams.
Yeah,
there's a difference.
It's going to be on a whole other level. Patch Adams wishes he was that kind of zany.
I bet he did.
Yeah. Well, totally. You know, the advantage Patch Adams had in this whole movie, if you look at it, if it was real, is the fact that the guy was a genius. And the ability to pick up the medical end of it as quickly and as easily as he was able to is how he was able to go ahead and start doing what he was doing. Because had he been an average student, he would have been
kicked out. And that's what they were saying, is your grades and your marks are the reason why we can't justify kicking you out.
Right.
Right, and I think that's the reason that he went into that specific, you know, part in the first place. I mean, anybody can volunteer. Anybody yes. can go and try to cheer people up. That's
yeah, they're called candy stripers.
Right.
But he was actually really, really, really smart and yes. understood it and realized he could help people beyond just making them laugh. He could actually, you know, be a medical doctor.
Yeah, it was therapeutic.
And, you know, I've been through a lot of doctors and therapists and things like that. And, you know, the ones that I always respect.
They just let them out on Monday nights.
The ones that I really respect are the ones that will tell you exactly what you're going to be expecting. Doesn't hold back. But you can also have some fun and give them some smart remark. And they don't just kind of look at you like, who the hell are you? They actually kind of enjoy that and can joke back with you.
Yeah,
that's, you know, that's what I respect in doctors. There are some doctors that come in and you can tell they don't even give a rat's ass about you.
They're just doing their duty.
They just come in, kind of look at you. This is what we're going to do. And leave.
I am glad that there's one scene that I think really helped interject a little bit more of humanity or character into the Patch Adams is when his girlfriend died. Was because up yes. until then, he always saw the good in people. I think up on that point, he realized that there's some people you just can't help no matter what. You can heal their physical problems, but you can't the other problems. And I think that's the one thing with her that I think really helped interject a little bit more realism into the
character. I got to mention that actually is Hollywood. The actual Corinne was his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a love interest. But I could still see it. Yes. Yes, oh, wow. He actually did have a best friend who was actually murdered. That
I didn't know that.
So I could still see that in the actual Patch Adams having a difficulty with that, losing a best friend like that.
Oh, totally.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did actually lose somebody. It was a best friend. I don't know how close, if it was as close like a roommate or a co-student that he was really mm-hmm. close with or what.
So, but, could have been a love interest, I'm just saying.
Hmm?
Could have been a love interest.
Yeah, we don't know.
It
but...
could have been, but he claims it wasn't. So,
right. So what would you give this movie, though, James?
I give this movie a straight 4. I can't really go to a 5, but I think it's a very strong 4. Is basically where I go, and there's no question in that.
Ryan?
Yeah, it's a 4. The all of the 90s character actors at this time were awesome. The score was a little bit, you know, that 90s orchestral stuff.
But
the movie in itself is pretty evergreen. It's one of those movies that doesn't seem to age because it had what it needed to tell the story.
Yeah, I agree.
That true story, like I said before, sort of fits into this 3-act structure already. And it tells the story well. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good movie.
And I think as this movie gets older, it's going to look better as you get farther away from the 90s at being a period piece anyways. I think it's just going to age better.
Right. Well, nowadays, this same type of movie would still have 80% green screen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at true. Least back Absolutely. Then, they were filming landscapes.
Exactly. Like the whole hospital, all the scenes in the hospital, that was a stage.
Yeah.
You know, and real sets, no green screen.
Right.
I'm going to give it a 4 as well, and only because I think they could have done a little better on some of the scenes and some of the camera work and things. But the storyline, for me, is a 5 on the storyline, but as a movie, it's
agree.
A 4.
I agree with you on the story. The story is really amazing. As John said, that monologue in the end was really well spot on.
That's and what I said, but okay.
Yeah, my favorite,
and Ryan said it too.
Yeah, you did.
I'm a sucker for those Scent of a Woman monologues.
I was going to say, I also really enjoyed the safari part. I thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I just wanted to do it one more time. I'll agree. It's a 4 to 5 pretty much for what everybody said. And I'm pretty much a sucker for those end monologues, stand up, you know, against the man type of things.
I am too. I'm for some reason, I've always been a sucker for those big Hollywood moments.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen the movie Scent of a one probably half a dozen times, and I've seen that ending but twice.
What a better ending, you know, as you're getting your doctor's certificate, you know,
and bend over,
and,
yeah.
And he's, and the, what did the dean say? They say, oh, glad to see you staying within the standards.
Yes.
And he said, oh, thank you, sir. And of course, he shoots everybody on the moon, rather.
That black nurse's reaction was funny at the end. Yeah. She's shaking her head.
That was good.
So we're going to switch off to Firefly. And who wants to talk about it?
I think Rob should start this one off.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I concur.
Let me just throw Rob under the bus right now. It's not a green one either. It's all diesel.
It's, you know, to be honest with you, this was not my favorite Firefly episode.
You know, I agree, but it's an origin story.
It's an origin story. That's true.
And that's the fun thing about it.
Okay. looking at it for what it was, and especially the earlier episodes, I think this episode hit a lull. I think even the energy and the tone and everything of this episode was in a lull.
I think it was supposed to be a little slower.
I really enjoyed, you know, the thing where he finds Kaylee in the middle of the Firefly, just working on it and just kind of, you know, being a grease monkey and still kind of perky and happy about things. But, you know, that's kind of where I found it. It was more fun in how he met his crew.
True.
And kind of the thing that he looked at, you know, the Firefly Serenity is kind of it's a bucket of bolts, but it's a good bucket of bolts.
Yeah, it's true. And, in the story, had it gone on, I think that at some point they needed to do an introduction on the crew, how everybody met and how all that happened. So I think that part was right on. It was just something
slow.
About it. Yeah,
it was just slow. That's really what it is. And I would go right on with you. It's a necessary story. And goodbye, Ryan. You got it back. Nope. Never mind. It's a necessary story for the series. And the one thing that always bothered me about it, even though I pointed out my favorites about it, is, you know, he sees the Firefly. He's like, there's a great bucket of bolts. It meets his cast, but I felt like this episode was always kind of just Joss Whedon going, we need this episode, let's do it, and throw it together. I don't think there was as much thought put into it as other episodes.
I would agree. I think the writing was a little bit of what exactly like you said.
Yeah.
Hey, we need to introduce all the characters and how they all came together. So write a script.
I would throw in the fact that I think he wanted a little bit more of what Captain Reynolds was like after the war, and this is the only one you get to see him like he was kind of dejected but hopeful, and he just wanted to get out in space and do his own deal. I think, you know, I actually kind of think that was the only reason this episode was made, because you get to see what happened to him afterwards.
I could see that, but I don't think this one just focuses on Mal. I think this one focuses on how Mal was handled his ship and crew.
Right.
That's really what this episode... I don't think... Because it really doesn't... Excuse me. That really doesn't go into... his psyche after the war. I don't think that does. Because that is something where the relationship is built up later on. Well, does that make sense?
Yeah. No, totally.
Because...
Unfortunately,
yeah, we can't keep going.
I have a little problem with Ryan, so I'm going to tell you as we keep trying.
A little problem with Ryan. Maybe we have a big problem with Ryan.
I was going to tell you, we do have a Facebook page. Do you like our movie reviews? Do you hate us? We'll read you on air, I promise, if it's funny enough. Please give us money, movie passes, something. Let us know.
Please. It's like beating a dead horse here.
Hey, I'll keep beating.
So I got one. I got a little piece of news, then I got something that I just kind of want to see how you guys feel about it. But we'll get into it after this first bit. Is what do you guys think of Sean Bean, Boromir from Lord of the Rings?
You mean the man who always dies?
Yeah, and you know, as Eddard Stark, he died as well. But those are the two things that he's really well known for.
Ryan,
I'm discussing Sean Bean. Boromir, Eddard Stark.
The guy who always dies.
I know who Sean Bean is.
Some people don't know the name off the top of their heads.
We have to educate the audience and the old guy.
But we were discussing how... Hold on, let me get into the news that I'm getting into. Jesus. So we've been discussing that we are enjoying the fact that a lot of good and original scripts and stories are being told on HBO, Showtime, all those things.
Amazon Prime, yeah.
Right. Yeah, they're coming out with the Frankenstein Chronicles. Sean Bean is going to be starring in it. and it's a reimagining of Mary Shelley's quote-unquote monster tale as a six-part period crime drama.
Who is he supposed to be?
John Deed as Frankenstein or the monster?
That's not even in the news. It doesn't even show up on his IMDb page right now.
I'll be honest. I'm hoping this is just focused on Frankenstein and his monster or Frankenstein. I'm more hoping that it's based on the cop. I'd love to see it on that end as they're discovering and trying to figure out Dr. Frankenstein. I think that would be a great twist.
Following in his grandfather's footsteps?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So some of the executive producers are Tracy Schofield, Frank Doliger, and John Adams, who are some of the guys who worked on Game of Thrones and Rome, which was another series. I actually enjoyed Rome. It took me a long time to actually sit down and watch it, but it was actually better than I thought it was going to be.
We did it. I watched it as well. It took a little while to get into it, but Roma has actually done fairly well.
Yeah.
It really was.
Yeah. So the other thing I was discussing, I mentioned it to them before you got back on, is the other one is just something I want to bring up, and I want to see how you guys feel about this, is Bill Cosby is being dragged through the mud right now. And, you know, he said...
This is not new, you know.
I know it's not new, but I'm just saying I want to see how people are feeling about it, because there's actually another person... As of 7 hours ago, another woman stepped forward and accused him of the same thing, rape.
Yeah, so this is something that actually came out probably...
I mean, I want to make a Jell-O joke here, but I don't feel it's appropriate.
When you guys...
It'd probably be not better.
Right about the time you guys were born is the first time the allegations first started coming out.
Of Bill Cosby? I didn't even know about that.
Yeah. It goes back that far. And he's had it buried, and he's had it buried, and he's had it buried. I mean, nobody's come up with any proof. Statute of limitations on a lot of the early ones are gone.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so those are over with. And now you have more people coming forward. I heard a newscaster today to say there's actually 20 women now.
Yeah, the last I had heard it was like 17, but the interesting thing to me...
I didn't know it was that many.
This all kind of came... Like, it got big, I guess. I didn't know it went back that far either. That's baffling to me. But the fact that this all kind of blew up recently because of a comedian named Hannibal Buress, who brought it up and started talking a bunch of shit, basically saying, like, why am I having to bring this up to everybody?
Yeah.
You know, why isn't this a big deal?
A big deal.
And that's what I'm kind of confused at, is because when it happened to Michael Jackson, how quickly did that become a big issue? And then it happened to Pee Wee Herman. How big did that become? Seriously, right off the bat.
First of all, Pee Wee Herman was just in like a nudie theater.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He didn't hardly do anything in it.
But even still, he got basically dragged through the mud for just being indecent.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is not being dragged through the mud for being indecent. This is being dragged through the mud for
right.
Being kind of a
this is very serious.
Yeah, it is. That's what I'm saying.
The problem is people tend to want to laugh it off. Oh, it's Bill Cosby. He's always funny. He's a funny guy. We're going to laugh it off. He couldn't have done that.
Well, the disturbing thing, let me just point this out from my point of view of not knowing that it went back, you know, 30-some years ago, is he was a father figure that they were trying to portray
on television.
Mm-hmm. The kids say the darndest things. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are basically letting your kids around a pedophile.
Well,
and I'm not saying he did anything with a young child, a rapist is a rapist.
Yeah.
And you're letting him around your kid. You are...
I don't think there's any evidence.
I'm not saying he's a pedophile. I'm just saying, but you know, it could lead to that. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it did. I'm just saying it could lead to something like that. You don't want a man who is willing to rape an adult woman... around a young child.
In jail, not around your kids.
Yeah.
You know how hard
goes a little bit beyond that, but
think of the women. Think of the women.
He is the face of like this is going to get into such a larger discussion.
It is, and I'm going to have to reel it in here in just a second. But
we are coming close to the end of the show.
Don't worry, I'm going to reel it in. I have a point to reel it in. But I want to let Ryan finish his point.
Oh no! I was gonna start launching into the black community and how unfortunately the face of the black community is all rappers and basketball players, and here's the positive face of the black community, and now he's being sort of dragged.
That's a really good point too. Yeah.
That's sad. For the rapist thing.
But what I want to say
to you, kind of hurt, okay. You know, the whole thing that he's been trying to do for the long time, but at the same time, you know, don't rape girls.
Yeah,
that's also if it is true. I mean, I generally would hate to see if this happened. They could be a bunch of bandwagon jumpers, but I would say 20 people.
But dude, 20 women.
That's a lot. No, that's a lot.
That is, and you got to have some that are legitimately having issues. But what I want to bring this up into, as far as what our show is related to, what does this do to you? When you either watch the Bill Cosby show or any of the other things that he's done, when you watch those now, do you even watch them and can enjoy it? Or do you just look at it and you're like, rapist?
I'll be completely honest. I've never been a giant Bill Cosby fan. And the last time I actually saw the Bill Cosby show was the early 90s. So it doesn't really affect me more if it was.
Well, I enjoyed his stand up as a kid.
See, I hated his stand up. I thought he was not funny.
Kid. Yeah. Voopa, voopa.
Well, here's the problem. If you put yourself in the position.
Okay.
If you put yourself in a position of these women, here you have this woman's word against this megastar.
Yeah.
All right. Boy, the proof and everything. I mean, everything that they have to go through now. 30 years ago wasn't available, the DNA evidence and all of that. It was he said, she said.
Yeah, they didn't really do many rape kits back then.
No, they didn't. And
they're looking in the wrong place, man. The proof is in the pudding.
Right.
I was trying not to do it.
I'm sorry about that.
No, it's all good. I was going to do it, but you did it.
Seriously, that's almost as bad as how do you like
my final point is why we're hearing about so many women now is because they're supporting each other. Women are supporting each other moving forward with this.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, one against Bill Cosby, it had never happened. And that was proven. It never happened. This woman could never get any traction.
So on a more... I don't know if it's a better note, but it has to be better than the last topic. Yeah. Next week is our theater pick, and what movie did we decide on doing?
Interstellar.
Interstellar.
So doing the McConaughey movie about going into outer space.
Perfect movie to see in the movie theaters.
Or IMAX.
If you want to spend $30 for a single ticket.
It's actually more $18 to $20 a ticket. Yeah.
So I gave the movie Patch Adams a 4 to 5. James gave it a 4 to 5.
He likes the roller coaster ride.
Ryan gave it a 4 to 5. Rob gave it a 4 or 5. Next week is Interstellar.
And episode 9, Ariel of Firefly.
Firefly.
Come on.
And as always, we'll see you next week.
Goodbye. Bye.